We're going next to a suburban community that's been forced to confront questions about immigration. The community is in Suffolk County on New York's Long Island. For decades, it had a mostly white population, many of them descendants of immigrants who got their start in New York City. Now new immigrants, Hispanic immigrants, have been arriving, and that has sometimes led to tension. 1 year ago, an Ecuadorian laborer was stabbed to death. NPR's Ari Shapiro has two reports, one this morning, one this afternoon, on a changing Long Island.
Suffolk County covers the half of Long Island farthest from New York City. There are summer towns where celebrities own multi-million-dollar weekend homes and working-class villages where people raise their families. For decades, these communities swam in a sea of red sauce. There were Italian restaurants in nearly every strip mall. Now, the mozzarella has some competition.
Are you kidding? Mi ranchito has the best pupusas.
Yeah, what do you know, huh? You think Carlos has the best empanadas?
This was a recent public service announcement appealing for harmony between whites and Latinos. Suffolk County's Hispanic population has grown 40% since the new millennium. People were drawn by jobs in landscaping and construction. Those newcomers have been the focus of a local battle over immigration, and at times the battle has become violent. Last November, Marcela Lucero was stabbed to death. The defendants are seven local high schoolers who said they went out about once a week looking for immigrants to bash. They called it beaner hopping. We came here to see how things have changed in the last decade and in the year since the killing. Luis Scarola agreed to show us around her hometown of Farmingville, where she has seen dramatic changes in the last 20 years.
Myself, I won't really go to a 7-Eleven where there's 50, 60 guys standing out there in the morning. I'm just not comfortable with that.
Scarola, her husband, and two dogs have a modest house on a quiet street. Three doors down from her place, Scarola points out a crumbling shell. She says 64 people lived in a 900-square-foot house. The landlord took in $10,000 a month cash.
Somebody got a bed for so many hours a day, and somebody got that same bed for so many others. And they would use, because it was one toilet, the backyard, as a toilet. So there were multiple holes dug that people would urinate and defecate in.
The town eventually cracked down on this landlord and others who were doing the same thing. But Scarola says there are still crowded homes in this neighborhood. Signs of the immigrant tide are everywhere. Down the street, a group of men gathers around a truck. Representatives from a Spanish language church are handing out hot chocolate and brochures.
Do you have anything in English or is it all in Spanish?
It's Spanish.
Spanish, okay.
It's Spanish, everything in Spanish.
Okay. Good luck. Nice to see you.
God bless you.
Thank you. You too. Have a good day.
You too.
I don't have anything against these people. They're people. They're human beings like you and me. You know, they're not subhumans because they've, you know, come over the border to, you know, make a better life, help their families.
When people in the neighborhood do a home renovation, how important is it to them to hire a contractor who only uses documented workers?
You know, from what I see, I think a lot of people will go for the cheapest price they can get. So they're not really concerned with who's doing the work. But then these may be the same people that are out there screaming, you know, deport them. So it gets to be hypocritical. I mean, obviously, they wouldn't be here if there weren't jobs for them.
And that is the crux of the issue, says Matthew Crossan. He's president of the Long Island Association, a consortium of businesses and community groups that promotes development in the region. From a business perspective, Crossan says, immigrants keep Long Island's economy afloat. He says without them, countless restaurants and landscaping businesses would close.
The reality is, given the outflow of younger people on Long Island, those jobs simply would not be done in this community. So, and anybody who says that there are plenty of Long Islanders who could be filling those jobs is just incorrect, factually. That is not the case.
If we need people here, we do it legally.
Elaine Call grew up in Suffolk County.
And I'm the co-chair of the Suffolk County Coalition for Legal, L-E-G-A-L, Immigration, No Amnesty.
Call lives in the vacation mecca of Southampton. It's a playground for the rich and famous, with huge lawns and swimming pools that need a lot of maintenance. In the past, high schoolers might have done those jobs, but Matt Crossan of the Long Island Association says that's no longer the case.
Things have changed. Kids don't go run around mowing lawns, and you don't get kids, for the most part, who are, you know, going to bury their arms up to their elbows in hot dishwater.
But Elaine Call is disturbed by the changes to her community.
Where is it written that people can just come in and sit down and settle in and not be accountable to anybody. I believe that what we're on a path for here is very frightening. The end of that path is mob rule, a complete breakdown of our society.
There's a birthday cake. Anybody got a birthday?
The group Food Not Bombs hands out groceries once a week. With strong voices on both sides of the immigration divide, this is a group of whites and Latinos just struggling to get by. Tonight there are at least as many people speaking English as Spanish. There are boxes full of pomegranates, bananas, broccoli, and cauliflower, all donated by local farms and supermarkets.
Yeah, we got milk. We got
This is milk?
Yeah.
When John Stepanian helped start this program in June of this year, he had no intention of engaging in an immigration debate. But he says the debate found him.
The first woman that drove up, she came and she's like, oh, this is great bread. And he started putting bread in her bag. And she starts talking to us and he goes, do you feed the illegals? And we say, well, we feed everybody. I mean, the food's free. We think food's a right. And she goes, you can't do that, though. This is my community.
Things got a little tense. The woman eventually called the police, and the police said the group could stay.
Thank you.
Immigrant rights activists in Suffolk County say Latinos have gotten used to a low-grade hostility. People spit or shout at immigrants. Day laborers who ride bicycles say cars have driven them off the side of the road. Giovanni Garcia is from Guatemala. We met him at a hiring site for day laborers.
My hand got injured at work while I was operating heavy machinery, loading a trailer. My boss told me if I took him to court, he'd call immigration to have me deported. I told him, bring it on. But my boss didn't call immigration and didn't pay for my medical treatment. I had to pay for it.
Then there are the high-profile acts of violence. Two immigrants were beaten nearly to death in 2000. A few years later, attackers firebombed a house that a Mexican family was living in. The violence seemed to culminate with the Marcela Lucero murder almost exactly 1 year ago. Now the Justice Department is looking into whether the local police have a pattern of ignoring hate crime allegations. And that is the subject of tonight's story on All Things Considered. Ari Shapiro, NPR News.